Well, I will call the CROG Cost Review Subcommittee meeting for Monday, September 20, 2021 to order. And Karen, if you're there, if you would do a roll call, please.
Thanks, John. Good morning, everyone. I'll start off with the town of Handover. Avon.
Larry Burrell here.
Berlin.
Chris Edge here.
Bloomfield.
John Coleman here.
Bolton.
Patrice Carson here.
Canton. East Hartford. East Windsor. Ellington.
And Webb here.
Enfield. Farmington.
Russ Arnold here.
Glastonbury. Granby. City of Hartford. Hebron.
Kevin Kelly here.
Manchester.
Jeff Lamala here.
Mansfield. Marlborough. City of New Britain.
Rob Trottier here.
Newington. Rocky Hill.
Steve Soul Black here.
Simsbury.
Tom Roy here.
Summers. South Windsor.
Jeff Doolittle here.
Southington. Stafford.
Devin Copperway, good morning.
Good morning. Tolland. Vernon.
Dave Smith, good morning.
Good morning. West Hartford. Wethersfield.
Derek Greger here.
Windsor.
Adam Kessler here.
Windsor Locks. Okay, John.
Karen, you, Karen. Peter, I'm here as well. Missed you.
Who's that?
Marlborough, I missed you.
Oh, thanks, Peter.
Hartford, Doug Wilson.
And Gary Furstenberg, Newington.
Thank you. Okay, John, all yours.
Thank you, Karen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to September. Hope you all had a good summer or a good August. Everyone's safe and well. And we'll move on to the public forum. Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to address the committee at this time? Hearing none, seeing no raised hands or chat, we'll move on to the adoption of the minutes of the meeting we held on June 28th in 21. And I'd entertain a motion to so approve those minutes.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Tim Webb, second.
Thank you. Any corrections, additions, deletions? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions.
One abstention, abstention.
One at a time, please.
Rocky Hill abstains.
Vernon abstain.
Avon abstains.
Thank you. Did you get that?
I didn't get the last person, please.
Avon.
Thank you.
Apparently Berlin should as well, looking at the sheet.
All right, we will move on to our first, our second action item, which is the lots of funding increase and scope modifications for the bridge in Stafford, Sotoria.
Okay, thank you, John, and good morning to everybody. So this is, I think the memo was included in your packet. This is the request from the town of Stafford for a funding increase of $1,198,468. from 2.6 to 3.799 million. It's a 46% increase, and it's based on the most recent competitive low bid. The town completed its LOSIP design successfully, and it was issued its authorization to advertise letter on August 5th and held its bid public bid opening on September 8th. They received five bid packages, and they ranged from the 3.4 to the 5.78, and that was considerably higher than the engineer's estimate of 2.6. So the reason for the disparity between the engineer's estimate and the lowest responsible bidder are due to several factors, and it was very difficult to evaluate the risk factor. It was complicated by the complex risks associated with construction of the bridge on top of an existing dam. So the contractors had indicated performing the work requires minimizing the vibration and to ensure that there's no damage to the dam underneath the bridge. Additionally, contractors were concerned about lowering the impoundments and cofferdams required to complete the project. The water level in the Riverside Pond can't be altered because TTM Technologies, who is the owner of the dam, utilizes the water for the processes at their adjacent plant. Furthermore, the industry has recently seen considerable price increases across the board due to supply chain and labor shortages. Also included in the bid prices are costs associated with the repair of the dam, and that amounted to $282,000, and that's considered a non-participating item. So not paid by LOTSIP, but paid by TTM Technologies. So this reduced the funding portion of LOTSIP to 3.166223, but with the 20% contingencies and incidentals, the total amount of funding to complete the bridge increased to 3.799468. So to allow the town to accept the lowest responsible bidder with costs that are substantially higher due to the complexity of the project and increased unit prices. Staff does recommend committee approval of the additional 1.19468 of lots of funding for the Stafford Leonard Road Bridge project.
Thank you, Satoria. Does the town of Stafford wish to make any comments?
Sure. Thank you, Satoria. Fantastic job as usual. This is a project that we've been working on for quite some time now. The residents of Stafford really need this project to move forward. So we were excited to see it proceed. Unfortunately, we were surprised when we opened the bids and saw that they were so much higher than the estimate. We've discussed the pricing and the concerns with the contractors. We even had some conversations with contractors that picked up plans and didn't submit a package. As Satoria noted, it's a very complex project. Some of the conditions are concerning to the contractors. That appears to be a primary cause for the increased pricing. Likewise, we've seen an increase in the cost of materials and services across the board since the beginning of the pandemic. So I'm sure this is also contributing to the increased cost as well. Gary from Cardinal Engineering is on the call to answer any engineering related questions that the committee might have. And I'll answer any other questions I can answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Go ahead. Peter, I move approval.
The motion to approve has been made. Is there a second?
Patrice Carson will second it.
Thank you,
Peter. I have a feeling this is going to be a norm, isn't it, for projects?
Could be. Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion?
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear what the engineer has to say about the high bids coming in.
This is Gary Giroux from Cardinal. We believe, and in our discussion with several contractors, two who didn't bid on the job, took plans out but decided not to bid on it, and one other contractor who wasn't a successful low bidder, they all said it's a risk factor that they had to apply to the project because of the issues or the unknowns relative to an existing old dam. They were very concerned, and they just applied across the board increases to almost every item to account for their risk in taking on the project in case something happened. In addition to the, I mean, prices have gone up over the past 12 months. And
the timing.
It's work. The other thing. Okay. The other issue they mentioned was the timing. We had originally priced this project going out to bid early in spring. It didn't get there by that time. So therefore, the project when it, going out in the spring and having it done in one construction period. Now it's over the winter. So there's going to be a shutdown, and they also expressed the cost of shutting down the project and coming back on board in the springtime, next spring. So that's their basic concern at this point in time. And it was pretty much across the board with all the contractors.
Gary, this is Dave Smith, question for you. Is this doable in one season? If the bridge is already out of service. Why don't you're not going to get it done any faster if you wait until next spring, right?
More than likely. Yeah, you're right.
Does that result in the savings?
No, not really. There's a lot of prep work that has to come into play here.
Okay. Just asking. I got one right behind you going to do the same thing. So
there's a lot of issues. Just getting the permit through DEEP was a long time coming.
No, I know at this point, but I'm hoping to bid a project without the dam, similar size though, in next month, but we'll just start in April. All they can do is shop drawings and prep and, you know, get their paperwork in line. But mine, I think we can get done within a single construction season if this one.
Well, we worked out a timeline thinking that project was going to be starting April 1st, and we were able to get it done by the end of the year.
Yeah.
But that all fell by the wayside as we started. We were waiting. It took time just to get the permit. Starting April 1st, we were anticipating the dam permit from DEEP by that time period, and we didn't get it until sometime in June.
Right. I think you're missing my point. If they're going to charge you more to start in November and then have to break down for the winter, why not just start in April like you wanted to 1 year later?
Mm-hmm. You're talking about rebidding then, Dave.
Oh, award it. Just tell them to get to start next year.
Oh, well, that's a possibility. There's a lot of stuff. There's still a lot of stuff they can do over the winter months. So we're allowing them to work at least 1 month over the winter months. They could remove the existing structure. There's a lot of prep work. Hopefully they can get the low-level outlet structure done ahead of time, which is not part of, it's not being paid with the loss of funds, but it's still part of the project.
Yeah.
That's a condition from DEEP that we had to get that done. Temporary pedestrian bridge has to go in because this bridge, even though it's closed to traffic, is being used by TTM, which has several hundred employees, and they have a parking lot on the other side of the structure, which holds approximately 50 cars, so 50 employees on a day-to-day basis.
I understand that. I designed that parking lot. I'm not being critical. I'm just asking if there's an opportunity for this. If they're seeming to make noise about charging you more money to go away and come back.
That was a condition. I mean, that was part of their bidding process. Their unit cost for mobilization and closeout.
Sure. Well, I mean, get them started. So
we want to get them started.
God knows Mill Pond could use the business.
We want to get them started as soon as possible.
You're not wrong there, Dave.
Right, going back to Patricia's initial comment that. Can any kind of estimate that you could apply to how much of the cost increase is unique to this project as opposed to a general material and labor cost increases across the board?
That's the hard factor to put on this. As we talk to the various contractors, it's a It's a risk factor. It's a gut feeling that they just applied. There's really no real hard way of breaking it out.
So is there any way that you could alleviate some of that nervousness and that riskiness for them and then rebid it in the spring when everybody's hungry for work? And maybe they'd be more willing to take on something?
That's something we could have a discussion with the contractors, but none of them really seem to have any ideas of what we could do to reduce their nervousness about bidding on this job. But that would probably be the next thing to do would be to bring in the contractors and look for suggestions, see if there are any that would justify rebidding. But right now they haven't come back with any specific recommendations on how, you know, we could improve things to allow them to lower their prices.
The problem with rebidding something, if you don't materially change the circumstances of it, is they've already tipped their hands.
Correct.
Yeah. That puts everybody in a bad position. So you may be just stuck with this one. I'm hoping to avoid it by bidding Mars a little bit later, so the window of nervousness isn't quite such a long exposure. So.
The nervousness sounds like it's part of the structure, though, Dave, not part of the pricing. I mean, if they rebid and prices came down per unit, that could obviously happen without anybody having an issue. I have a further question. What if they did this project and none of their concerns about the surprises in the bridge came to fruition? Would that leave money in the bank that comes back to CROG?
Nope.
No.
It was the other way. It's all profit at that point. The only way to overcome nervousness is to give them better and more information. And I don't know if there's any sort of investigation. Can you get a diver in? Can you do some sort of geotech, some sort of mapping, anything that could give them more or better information so that they wouldn't feel as nervous? If you have that, then you could address Dave's comment about material change by giving them more and better information. If you're just going to go out to bid again with the same package, you're not going to do anything. And honestly, sitting at the end of September, who on earth thinks that they're going to start building a bridge before winter shutdown anyways? That doesn't make any sense. That's not a reasonable argument on their part.
Doug, my understanding from, you know, my conversations with the contractors wasn't necessarily the timing. It was more the risk involved with the project. And we did do geotech and had a considerable amount of mapping done prior to the project. So I don't know that there's any further investigation that we can do that's going to give them the warm and fuzzies about this project any more than they have now. I think that it's an odd project because it is sitting on top of a dam that we don't own. And I think that's the majority of the uncomfortableness, if that's a word, for the contractors. And unfortunately, that's just something I can't change.
Okay.
Not just the dam. You got a company with employees, and if you mess that up, they're not working. So there is a lot of risk here.
And not only a company with employees, a defense contractor. So there's a lot at stake there.
Well, bring in the Corps. What the hell? And the Seabees, get the real guys in there. They'll fix it in a hurry.
One question I have is, if you go over to 10% contingency, what happens? Who's funding that?
I believe it works that the town is responsible for anything above and beyond the base bid plus 10%.
That's correct.
Or they come back here and ask again.
No, they don't get to.
No, this is a,
huh? Okay. It's a low bid plus 10%.
Well, 10% contingency is 10%.
Okay. Yeah, incidentals.
So that's correct. So that would be, it would fall on the town.
Well, let's move the question and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further? There's a motion on the floor to approve the request.
Russ Arnold, Farmington, so moved.
Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Did I hear one opposition? I did not. It's unanimous. All right, we'll move on, Satori and Rob, quickly to item number five, which is the project solicitation and conduct coordination update.
Okay, thank you, John, and thank you for the approval for the Stafford project. I'll start off and then Rob will continue. So this is in regards to the 2022 LOSSIT project solicitation. CROG will be distributing a request for proposals, RFP, the end of the month in September. The projects will be due in January, and the selection approval is anticipated in May of 2022. In the selection policy that was approved in July, the pavement structural improvement will be rated as the appropriateness of the treatment. We've worked closely with CONDA, and Rob will review that with the committee in a few minutes, and we looked at longstanding inefficiencies in the guidelines. So to assist municipalities with the pavement treatment and categorization, CROG's going to be offering a pre-application pavement treatment opinion from a pavement expert pre-vetted by CONDOT, free, and this will be free to our communities. We're working out the details with CONDOT and our consultants, so we'll have more detailed information to you at next month's meeting, and it won't interfere with, you know, the date of our distribution or issuance of the LOTSIP solicitation RFP. We'd like to coincide this information with the CONDOT revised LOTSIP guidelines, which are also supposed to be or scheduled to be distributed at the end of the month. And just as an FYI, CONDOT did agree that there would be a 20-year service life on most projects, but allow for a 15-year service life on minor pavement rehabilitation projects. So I'll turn it over to Rob.
Yeah, you know, prior to this solicitation, we really wanted to talk with CONDOT and button up any type of opportunities for improving the efficiency of the projects. And we've heard from our committee members, you know, as you all know, in the past few meetings about some of the things that could be improved in the process. So what we wanted to do was get together with CONDOT, the LOTSIP unit first, and requested to know what was going on with the changes in their guidelines that they're going to put out very soon. And they sent us some information, and we gave them some general thoughts on efficiencies that could be improved. And what came back to us was that really, you know, a lot of these efficiencies, they rely on the various units in the department to do various reviews on specialty items. So the LOTSIP unit does some general reviews, but really, you know, anything specific, they reach out to the pavement unit or the right-of-way unit or the traffic unit, you know, which we knew already, but really things had to be addressed at that level. So at that time, we set up meetings with the pavement unit, the right-of-way unit, the traffic unit, which we're meeting with tomorrow, to try to discuss how we could get more efficient. And as you know, a few months ago, we even had thoughts of going up the chain at DOT. But really, we wanted to get the opinions of these units and see if we could work at the staff level first, figure out what remaining issues we had before we go up the chain at DOT with any asks, with any final asks. So listed on this memo is the times we've met with DOT, some of the progress we've made. I think we've made some good progress, especially with pavement. They were amenable to having us use a consultant pre-vetted by them. They're going to review the resumes of various folks for pavement experts, and that we could offer our towns analysis, opinions of pavement treatments free of charge. And our thought right now is to offer that during the application process. So if you have a project that you're considering with pavement treatment, our thought is that you could send us an intent to apply during the application process, and our consultant will go out and give their visual assessment. And this is without doing borings and all that, but basically an opinion on on what category of treatment, and CONDA is revising their guidelines to coincide with these categories of treatment, four major categories of basic pavement treatment. As we mentioned, we got the approval for a 15-year design life, not 20-year, on minor pavement rehabilitation projects. And that category of treatment is anything where a mill and overlay is acceptable for most of the project. It could even be full depth in certain areas, but mainly a mill and overlay would be acceptable on that type of project on minor pavement rehabilitation. And we got them to agree that 15 years would still be appropriate for that type of project. So we've made progress with pavement. We've also made some progress with right-of-way in early coordination efforts and them working through Satoria, them being available to coordinate early on the types of takings or rights needed on projects. Also, we got a commitment on a timeline when the towns opt for them to do the right-of-way. They say they need at most 9 months from when they get the property maps in.
If I could just interrupt you for a minute to let those who may just be joining now and thinking this is the full transportation committee meeting, which was scheduled to begin at noon, because we're all on the same Zoom. I want to let you know that the cost review subcommittee is still in session, and you're not joining the meeting late. We're probably going to be about 10 minutes late to start the full transportation committee meeting.
Thanks, Ted. And I'm digging way into the details here, but we have a meeting with traffic tomorrow to go over some of the issues associated with. There's a lot of uncertainty of the process right now, whether you go through the district, whether you go straight to Newington. Is it more efficient to go straight to Newington? Even some towns have gone to Newington in the application process. So we want to get that all ironed out as to what's the most efficient way to do business with CONDOT traffic. So in summary, I included some of the what I just said in these comments here, but there are two major issues that remain and that this committee has brought up, and that they cannot solve at the staff level. This would require us to go either higher up at DOT or go to legislators and get legislation changed. And one is eligibility, allowing work on non-federal aid highways. Basically, the legislation right now has right in the legislation that it has to be STP urban eligible. And there is a reason for that, because it was a swap with CONDOT for STP urban, for them to utilize STP urban funding and us to use, they would allocate the lots of funding, but the thought is that it would have to be STP urban eligible. Due to that swap and due to STP urban backstopping this program, if this funding went away, they could immediately throw these projects into the STP urban funding source and would have a funding source for them. So that would require legislative change. And the thought is, I talked to our lobbyists, the thought is that unless DOT is on board with legislative change, we'd be hard pressed to get it. We'd probably find someone who would be willing to champion a bill, but in order for it to pass, the thought is that DOT would have to be on board with it. The second item would be eligibility of elimination of CONDOT oversight and having the COGS directly oversight this. The thought is that CONDOT would have to agree to that, obviously. Right now, they write the rules according to legislation. I doubt they would allow that for some of the regions. I doubt they would have the capacity to do that. We were asked if we could look into doing that on a pilot level with CROG. And what we're going to do as staff is look into what that would take and see if we do have an ask of CONDOT to try to do that with CROG on a pilot level. Of course, it would be CONDOT would have to be amenable to that. So those are the two remaining issues. I'm running over time, so I'm trying to go through this quick. I think we made some good progress with the individual units. It'll take some time to figure out how much more efficiency, we've realized. And then the two higher up issues are still outstanding, and both are risky. If legislators, if we go through the legislative process, it is risky that legislators will see a lot of money sitting in a budgeted and unspent, because it takes a while for transportation projects to utilize the funds. And so it is risky that that could be a grab for legislators. So there's risk involved. And then there's the opportunity to go up the line with CONDOT and have an ask that we, as CROG, have a pilot where we oversee the program. So I don't know if there's any questions.
Rob, before you do, I have a couple of comments. One, on the eligibility, I think there's another item that staff also, first of all, I think commendations to the staff for making the efforts they have so far. And I know you're working hard on it. I know it's not an easy slog, and hopefully, you know, we'll continue to make progress. Obviously you have made some, but on eligibility, the other item that you discussed with me, which I think is almost makes it a non-starter, is that we have this understanding and agreement with CONDOT that if lots of money is withdrawn, we get the STP urban money back. And obviously the STP urban money is not allowed to be used on non-federal aid roadways. And we could lose our leverage if the legislation is changed to get that money back, if in fact we begin to use the LOTSEP money on non-federal. So for my money, I think that's one we probably ought to not pursue too aggressively at the moment. On the elimination of CONDOT oversight, I think the two issues, I think one, we should pursue it. I think we need to first make sure we can do it. And I think that's that was a conversation I had with them earlier and with senior management at CROG, that it's they need to do a review and determine what CROG would require in terms of staffing increases or consultant assistance or both to be able to manage and overview the LOTSEP program. But I think that's something well worth pursuing. And once we determine that on our side, then I think we should make a push to see if we can do a pilot program with CONDOT. One of the concerns I have with continuing to have LOTSEP at CONDOT is one, we're all aware of the staffing cliff that they're facing in terms of retirement, and they're going to have multi-billion dollars of COVID money coming in, which they obviously are going to be very pressured to spend ahead of almost anything else. And I can see lots of getting lost in the weeds in that one. So I think it would be critical if we can be able to undertake it and spend the lots of money on our own. Any other comments or questions before we see if there's any other business and move on? We'll have an opportunity, obviously, to revisit this topic in the full meeting of the Transportation Committee. Hearing none, is there any other business to come before the committee, subcommittee?
I'll make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Thank you.
Patrice Carson.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 We stand adjourned.